It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Say we do some radio. I like the sound of that. Happy New Year, everybody. This is the first broadcast of 2022, the first broadcast of January 2022. It is the third day of January 2022. I'm saying it's maybe it'll get fixed in my brain. I took extra time to make sure that I really, really didn't screw up the code for the podcast or the naming conventions for the... I think we're good. I really do. Hi, I'm Robin. And it's, it's January. Well, I thought that was March coming in like a lion. No, it's January. Everything that crapped on the West over the past week finally found its way here to the hills and hollers of Almost Level West by Cold Manchinistan. And, so all my hopes for smoking a brisket on New Year's Day were for naught. But, well, because it just rained. It just rained and rained and rained. So for New Year's Day, we roasted the brisket. I tried some new methods. Slow roasted in a red wine. Red wine and rice wine vinegar and of course I did the home cure for the brisket to turn it into corned beef. And it was yummy. It was really yummy. Three bundles of turnip greens, large enough to fill a huge stock pot, turned out to cook down to about the last 4 inches of the stock pot. Oh, they were so good, and I've been a cornbread making fool for the last 3 days. Today I treated myself to some so-called Mexican cornbread because I love that, you know, with the canned whole kernel corn and the little bits and pieces of red and green bell pepper, and I chopped in a fresh jalapeno, and that's pretty much what I've been noshing on today. That and leftover corned beef, yummy. It was all received very, very well, and one of the most exciting things about it is that this past Saturday, New Year's Day, I had the strength and the stamina to cook a full meal for several people and made it through okay, and that is a huge, huge step for me. So I feel like the new year started fairly well. We got up this morning and found the ground sort of covered with a sloppy, wet, white snow. My friends down home in the Shoals, they had like 80 degrees and then woke up this morning and had a couple of inches of snow on the ground, and it was like some sort of New Year's miracle. They get real excited about snow down there. And of course, you know, no one can drive in it down there. So I'm sure school's been canceled for the next 3 weeks and martial law has been declared. I kid. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself because every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different at all. And so consequently, thanks go out. thanks go out this evening to our subscribers of the first, second, and third day of the month. Thank you so very kindly to Gene and Ann across the pond. Thank you, Bill in Allentown. Thank you, John. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you. Thanks so much to Rocco and to Elizabeth. Thanks as well to David in San Diego. Thank you to Tom in sunny San Rafael. Thank you to John at Home Dirts. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Rusty. Thanks, Joseph. And thanks, Chris. Thank you all, one and all, for being partial sponsors of the program and helping us keep this little broadcast effort on the air. You know, we wrapped up December of 2021 about $280 short of finishing the year. So there's a $580 fundraising goal. And good news, Bruce's Memorial Challenge is on the table because this is, of course, the first broadcast of the brand new month. So that means there's $300 worth of matching monies on the table. And that's courtesy of Chris in Germany and Ralph's and an anonymous friend. And, well, if we can raise that $300, then we'll wipe out the last of we will wipe out the last of 2021. And good riddance. And, no, I shouldn't say that. There was good to be had in that year. Believe you me, I'm the woman to ask. And looking forward to more and better in 2022. And hopefully we will make that challenge, and that means we'll be fully funded for the first day of the new year, and or the first day of the first broadcast day of the new year, and wipe out last Friday's deficit and actually be fully funded for the time being. So, bunch of bills, as usual, waiting, and we'll deal with it as we can. It's more in Monday. Oh, dear God. We have it... We got stuff to talk about, Moran stuff. Yeah, I agree. Stephen New York says, cornbread in a cast iron skillet, is there anything better? We have a piece here that I absolutely cherish. It is a square cornbread pan, and that is what it is. It is a cornbread skillet. Skillet. Ran off with a voodoo woman named Phyllis. Sorry. Which reminds me, Annette and I, past our evenings the last couple of nights, just rewatching Ted Lasso. It doesn't get old. It's just so watchable. And we laughed and cried and carried on. That it's just the best piece of TV that's been recently produced, in my humble opinion. So, anyway. I posted a picture of the first pan of cornbread. There were multiple pans. Shot right through a half a gallon of buttermilk. The cornbread with the pot liquor from the turnip greens and the hog jowl and the corned beef and cabbage. Mm. Didn't do black-eyed peas this year because I had a request. And that said, please don't. Just don't. Nobody eats it but you. So, I didn't do Hoppin' John. I hope that does not affect the good luck of the new year. But yeah, that iron, that's the thing. This house will be 100 years old in 2037. So that's 90. So this is an 85-year-old house, and it shows every year of it. But the skillet is older than the house. And you can just feel the vibes. I mean, there's at least four generations of women who have made cornbread in that skillet. Me, my mom, my grandmother, and my great grandmother. At least it may be five. And the seasoning on that hillbilly Teflon is not. and it's never seen a drop of soap. Never seen a bubble. Right. What's that? Lee in New York says, proof that astrology is garbage. On Born This Day, 19 years ago, January 3rd, 2003, Greta Thunberg and, wait for it, Kyle Rittenhouse. Wow. What a comparison and contrast. I had no idea they were both born on January the 3rd, 2003. Well, at least one of them turned out well. And the other one turned out to be a homicidal piece of garbage. Oh, well. Thanks for that, Lee. And Randy Radar tells me that Delaware and the southern Jersey Shore got clobbered. I saw a photograph of President Biden disembarking Air Force One, having come home from his holiday trip to Delaware. Howling winds, blinding snow, and the President of the United States, no problems, came right down the stairs, no issue. My God, can you imagine if that had been Nitwit Nero? No, don't imagine. Don't imagine. The conspiracy theories alone, after he would have slipped and fallen and tumbled ass over, copious ass over tea kettle all the way down the... No. And no. No. But, yeah. And happy birthday, Steve in New York. His birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday indeed. No, Randy Radar. There was no sugar in the cornbread. If God wanted sugar in cornbread, he would have called it cake. And Randy tells me in 2037, old 32-bit applications may fail as the 32-bit system time counter will overflow. 15 years, huh? We've got 15 years to get that sorted. Which means that if we treat it like climate change, we'll be worrying about it the night before. In the skillet you mentioned, Steve says the greatest ingredient is clearly love. Thank you. Happy New Year so far, says Silent R. Lamar. Good to hear you live. Your friend Silent R. Lamar is still alive and getting pushed to the wall, but look out. This mule does kick. Yep. Keep kicking. Keep kicking, Silent R. Keep kicking. I agree. Imagining if that had been Nitwit Nero tumbling down the stairs. Yet let's don't say we didn't. I'm a big fan of that sometimes. But like I said, it is Moran Monday, and there's no, oh my God, there's no getting around it. It's so Moran Monday. And we got them. Yeah, we certainly do. And let's do this the right way, because it's been a while.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. You will not believe your ears. It's Moran Monday on the horn. Yes, the Moran Monday tent has traveled across the fruited plains, uphill and downdale, and has arrived now for the first Moran Monday of 2022. And here we are, as usual, just mere steps away from the Carnival Midway, where only moments ago, in freezing and blinding snow, you were attempting to throw an absolutely white ping pong ball at a goldfish bowl in the hopes of winning a not-so-precious little baby iguana. Yes, yes, indeed. We're waiting right here for you, and it's a Moran Monday. The Moran Monday tent is much more fun than the ping pong ball toss, especially when the wind whips the ping pong ball over into the duck pond. Absolutely, and that doesn't count for the iguana. No, Moran Monday Enterprises. Well, it exists by on a subscription basis, and you know, for less than the cost of a half of a Crystal cheeseburger, well, you too can make sure the More End Monday tent keeps traveling. And here, behind these thin cybernetic veils of canvas, we've got them all for you, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. We've got them all. We've got, yes, we've got your birthers, deathers, baggers, birchers, ninthers, tenthers, booger eaters, libertarians, trumpanzees, maggots, Republicans all. And they are here to delight. No, not so much. They are here to amaze, to nauseate, to disgust, and to terrify you. Please remember, as you enter the More End Monday tent, keep a close hand on watches, rings, necklaces, earrings, septum rings, nostril piercings, eyebrow piercings, lip piercings, other piercings. The More Ends will even try to steal the tattoos right off your skin. Keep a close eye on and a close hand on purses, backpacks, European-style messenger bags, as the More Ends can get grabby. Head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits in More Ends. It's the absolute truth. Oh, dear God. Yeah, it really, really is, because... Well, let's just start with the weird, shall we? Okay. Nothing quite gets a maggot moron worked up like the mere mention, let alone the sight, of Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Democrat of New York. Because they just, they're so weird and so chasey and so conflicted. I feel so bad for her sometimes. Because chasers are gross. And I think we have to admit that the Republican Party has a real fetish problem where she's concerned. She and her boyfriend took a trip to Florida for a little bit of nice weather. And there is nothing to indicate that they flouted any good common sense rules relative to the pandemic. I would have had questions about going to Florida, given the fact that it's blowing through the roof in terms of Omicron. Just in the last 2 weeks, COVID-19 cases in Florida have skyrocketed by 948%. And there's been a huge wave of infections and hospitalizations, not just there, but in the United States generally. Here, I did not, as I said, I didn't go any. I wanted to. Lord, I wanted to. This was my first New Year's Eve in my proper form, and I badly wanted to go out, but there'll be another New Year's Eve, one hopes. And we stayed in, and we watched, New Year's Eve, I think we watched some Mary Beard documentaries about ancient Rome. That's what we did New Year's Eve. Didn't even crack so much as a bottle of sparkling apple juice. No. By the way, I did use a little bit of apple juice along with the rice wine vinegar and the red wine in the corned beef. And wow, it was good. It was just a lovely, lovely combination. But anyway, didn't do anything then. Didn't do anything Saturday night. And didn't do anything last night. Because it's really, apart from getting necessities at the grocery store, even though we take every possible precaution, I mean, nitrile gloves, yeah, N95 mask, check, social distance, most definitely, yes, staying as far away from as possible from any damned fool in a maggot hat or any Trump merch. Oh, yeah. But, now, I will give you this much. You may recall my big sis, Terry,
talking about her informal survey down where she lives, that there were maybe, you know, 1 in 10 people wearing a mask when she went to the grocery store. It's a little better than that here, but you still see a lot of chin strap mask wearers and free nosers. But I think we are at least a little bit better than Alabama in terms of masking. Because, you know, they just don't believe in it down there. It's again, freedom. Right. But that's, you know, that was it. I went to the mailbox, and thank you very kindly to Dennis in Columbus and Brandon and Fennell in Brooklyn and another dear friend who has occasionally said that they wish to remain anonymous. Thank you. But that was pretty much it. And I just, you know, I don't see that changing until after the spike. And based on New Year's Eve behaviors, I'd say that by somewhere around January the 15th, somewhere around the next federal holiday, we'll probably see a whopping big spike. The Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Federal holiday will fall this year on the 17th, and the spike will probably be, the Omicron spike will probably be straight up and down. And I know people keep saying, well, you know, it appears to be milder. I've read too many articles that say, no, not so much. And it's still, you're still killing people. Lord, yes. I'm so sorry, Brother Deacon Asa. A dear friend is passing of terminal cancer this evening. Brother Deacon Asa says she fought long and hard. May peace be with her, Brother Deacon. And I mean that in no religious sense of the word whatsoever. But, and I am going to, I promise, I'm going to loop back to the original story, I swear. But what's happening is people who are vaccinated and boosted are getting it, and they're having a mild case because the vaccine works. The COVIDiots and the mask holes, you know, the maggots, they're getting it. And those poor bastards, well, they're still dying. I have a post here from a dude. These people are easy to find. Facebook friends, the Lord touched me. Really? With the COVID? That was God's doing? When I came into the hospital, I came because of my heart, because of fluid building up around my heart and my lungs. I was tested for COVID and I didn't have it, and when I was tested 3 days later, they found I did have it. The church prayed for me to get sick from it, but I think not to get sick. It kind of missed a modifier there. But the symptoms only lasted about 2.5 days. I was truly blessed. I just woke up at about 2:15. They began to draw more blood. But the Holy Spirit brought something to me. But the COVID virus is not going to go away. Why? All right, get the hockey puck. Yeah, this isn't just some meme. This is somebody actually writing something that has come into their COVID-fired brain. Why? Because of the condition of the world. We have taken evil and called it good. I'm good at being called evil. If you read the other poem I put on Facebook, we'll skip a bit, brother. it asked a question: are you comfortable living in the midst of sin? If you remember, Lot, I love it when they cite Lot, was living in the city of Sodom when the Lord sent two angels, that's T-O angels. They had to grab him by the hands and lead him and his family out of there because he was too comfortable living in the midst of sin. This is not Prayer Meeting Wednesday. There's a purpose to all of this, believe me. Now, never mind if you go to the book of Ezekiel, it says, here is your sin, Sodom, that you were shitty to strangers among you. That is what many Christians are doing today. Open your eyes and look around and look at the TV shows. Every new TV show I watched had gays in it. Gay police officers, lesbians, every one of them. There are churches that are flying gay flags. There are companies that are owned by gays. Christians, look around you. If you look at that type of situation, get out. That's all caps, the get out part. God is about to bring a judgment on these places, and you don't want to be there when it happens. No, you want to be in a cave like Lot with your teenage daughters, and they'll get you all liquored up and go making a thickety-thick on you, because, lo, there shall be no husbands for us in this desolate land. That's what it says in Genesis, but, you know, our buddy here never gets around to the incest part. Now, I don't know when this is going to happen. Only God does. Those who are wise enough can prepare to leave. You may have to leave your workplace or wherever you're, or wherever you're. Y-O-U apostrophe R-E. I mean, technically it's correct, I guess, wherever you are. I don't see that usage much in common English. Wherever you're. For many of you, it'll be a sacrifice. It may even hurt you financially. But trust in the Lord and He will carry you through this. As many of you know, I have dreams and premonitions. You know, there's a pill for those premonitions. Never mind. Sometimes the Lord bring me poems and songs to glorify His name. Sometimes I'm just waking up, the Holy Spirit will bring something to me, and if I don't listen to Him, I can't sleep. I'll be up all night being chastised by Him. Chastised, really? Is that what you're into there, buddy? So, by Him, yeah. So I try to obey Him and do what He wants to do. That's right. You obey. You obey, you naughty, naughty man. So look up and be prepared, for I do not know when this is going to happen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen. Mm-hmm. Gays on TV shows. Gay people. Lesbians! Lesbian cops on TV shows. That's why we got the Roner. Yep, you knew it all along, didn't you, Steve? The gays, right? All right. I'm just surprised you didn't get around to trans people. But, what? It's who they are. Filled with moral righteousness and righteous indignation. And won't get no vaccine. And they are bigots and xenophobes. Facts. 7,000 illegal immigrants, all COVID positive, get released into a town in Texas by the Democrat president. And this is just one town. No vaccine shot, nothing, but go have it. Keep drinking the Kool-Aid, people. Now, of course, that's not something that happened, but, you know. And so, this is a preacher. And of course, they're nominated because he and his wife are both in the hospital, waiting to see if the COVID's going to take them with them. So, you know, like I said, 948% increase in Florida. Just in the last 2 weeks. cases have risen nationwide by 101%. Daily deaths are up by 37%. So please don't think that the Omicron is mild thing is necessarily real. It's just that the people who are vaccinated and boosted are having an easier time of it. By the way, I caught an interview earlier this morning. There was a testing protocol developed for test kits that could be used at home. And the FDA back, The FDA back under Nitwit Nero, COVID Caligula, said, nope. We're not going to let you do it. So that's part of why we have a testing problem. Just saying. People are wondering where the hell Rona Monkey Up death sentence governor of Florida is. He claims to be helping his cancer-stricken wife at home. I think, well, there may be a soupçon of truth to that. But mostly the state's on fire and he'd rather not have to deal with it. That personal responsibility thing is one of those things that Republicans harp on but are not very good at themselves. We've reached 62% of the U.S. population being fully vaccinated, but in the Mountain West and in the South, the numbers aren't nearly like that. Not at all. Today the FDA said 12 to 15-year-olds can have a booster, but the CDC still has to pass on that as well. I'm sure they will. But all of that having been said, back to the first story. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her boyfriend went to Florida for a break. A lot of people do. And somebody there caught a photograph of she and him sitting what appears to be nearly 6 feet apart, not wearing masks. They are obviously seated outside. He's, my God, he may be whiter than me. Pinker. But they're not masked because they're sitting at a table and those are the rules. But Lord God, Billy Bob, it caused an absolute paroxysm of wildness in the maggot hive mind, or the hive maggot mind. Some blue check neo maxi zoom dweeby by the name of Steve Cortez, or maybe Cortes, C-O-R-T-E-S, tweeted, one, if leftists like AOC... leftists? Really? Where's her little Mao cap with the little red star? I actually thought mandates and masking worked, they wouldn't be frolicking in free Florida. Free Florida? Now, I've got a dear friend who just returned to West Virginia from Florida. They've got a house down there. We've been friends for a very, very long time, and he kindly called me on Friday to wish me Happy New Year. It was really sweet. And he was talking about being down. He said, "We've been down here. We've seen family, just immediate family. Haven't gone out. Haven't gone anywhere. Just trying to get back home before this thing can get us." Because, as he noted, it's kind of crazy down there. By the way, my apologies for the blowing noise in the background. That's my attempt to remain warm. It's a It's a bearable 61.9 degrees Fahrenheit here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. Frolicking in free Florida. Because, see, they got freedom in Florida. They got freedom to die like flies. And they're dying free. Two, her guy is showing his gross, pale male feet in public, not at a pool beach, with hideous sandals. 0-2. Steve Cordes apparently spending way too much time looking at a dude's feet. I immediately remembered something from my dim and distant past, and I think I've told this story before, but eons ago, 36 years ago, I started a master's program in for a Master of Fine Arts degree in acting at the University of Alabama, and we put up Shakespeare's The Tempest. Had I stayed there the full term, we would have done a I would have had the lead in some Shakespeare play in my year three. But I bailed out and went to Atlanta instead and went to CNN, et cetera, et cetera. The rest is history. But I was there long enough for us to do The Tempest, and the guy who was supposed to do it, The Tempest, for his third-year master's degree thesis project, he was supposed to play Prospero, went out horseback riding one afternoon in the autumn. And I don't know if the horse got stung by a wasp or something, but it went apeshit and rode him into several trees and broke both of his legs. So it's kind of hard to play Prospero when you got two legs in a cast. So the director of the play, he'd worked with Joseph Papp and people like that, Shakespeare in the part, et cetera, reached out and found one of his actor buddies, an equity actor, and brought him in to play our Prospero, and he was really good. He had a beautiful Shakespearean voice. Make it so, number one. In iambic pentameter. It was not Patrick Stewart. Stop. No. Quit. Although this is before the rise of Star Trek TNG. But it wasn't. He came from Florida, and he, total pro. And we got to the end of the run, and it was quite a success. Somewhere out there, there's still a kind of a foreshadowing thing. There's a photograph of me in a purple dress with purple tights and a little Jackie Kennedy pillbox hat. Look, we were at the mercy of the costume shop, but still, looking back, so we get to the end of the run. We throw the cast party at my house. Yeah, get a keg. Everybody brings food. Cast, crew, and even invited the director. Well, our Prospero showed up. And we did not know that he was a friend of Bill W. Nobody had told us. But we didn't, you know, we didn't give him booze. He showed up with a 12-pack of Bush tucked under one arm. And I think that was probably his second. And he was wasted. And the lovely, lovely young girl who had played our Ariel was sitting on my couch in my little Cracker Box Palace apartment. And he plopped down next to her. And gone was the stentorian Shakespeare voice. And eventually, he looked over at her and said, "You have lovely feet." And to a certain extent in that situation, everybody kind of and breathed a sigh of relief. Because it would have been bad had he chosen some other body part to compliment. But no. And after a while, we kind of just put him into my bedroom and closed the door and kind of made sure he didn't get out. And he just sort of bounced around in there for a while until he passed out. I slept on the floor in the other bedroom that night. But I thought of that when I saw this, when I saw this Steve Cordes dude geeking on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's guy's feet. Gross, pale, male feet. And the funny thing is, they keep poking at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and bless her heart, I mean, she's so much better at social media than these neo-maxi-zoomed weeby maggots are. I mean, leftists, really? Surprised he didn't just go for the gusto and go straight to commies. If commies, like... Yeah. So, she, I guess she got wind of it somehow, and every now and then she has to... It's like watching a... Oh, I don't know. A boa constrictor play with a mouse. I mean, we all know who's going to be the winner. Now, Steve Cordes describes himself as American nationalist, bad hombre, born for a storm. This dude, my God, I don't think he could win a fight with a folding roadmap. AOC took him down so good. So well, I'm sorry. If Republicans are mad they can't date me, they can just say that instead of projecting their sexual frustrations onto my boyfriend's feet. You creepy weirdos. And that's it in a nutshell. She added, it's starting to get old ignoring the very obvious, strange, and deranged sexual frustrations that underpin the Republican fixation on me, women, and LGBT plus people in general. These people clearly need therapy, won't do it, and use politics as their outlet instead. It's really weird. And even the initial point of the tweet, you know, well, they're goddamn not wearing masks. They're outside. But, you know, the kind of people who follow Steve Cordes, American nationalist, bad hombre, born for a storm, are not going to, they're just going to go into paroxysms of, oh my God, AOC! And so Steve Cordes, our first Moran Monday nominee, but by no means the last. Why is that? Well, because it can't be the last because Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, is still out and on the loose in Merca. This past week, he tried to claim that Washington State banned dancing at private parties on New Year's Eve. His tweet was as follows. Blue state Dems are power drunk authoritarian killjoys. Washington State, no dancing allowed. Any rational and free citizen, piss off. Now, as is so often the case when maggots make bold showings of their profound stupidity, he deleted the tweet. But, you know, the internet's forever. And what he was doing was quote tweeting something from at Prison Planet, which, of course, that's going to be affiliated with, you know, Alex Jones. Dancing is strictly not permitted on New Year's Eve inside your own home. Good luck enforcing that. And this is all because he saw an abbreviation, WA government, blue check mark, and because America is the only place on earth, he assumed that that meant the state of Washington, but hi, Robert, hi, John, hi, everybody down, up, over, down, under. What that means is Western Australia. Mm-hmm. Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, and smartest man in the Senate, just ask him, he'll tell you, couldn't be bothered to figure out that WA also means Western Australia. Because the Prison Planet dude had made the same mistake. So the stupidity multiplies upon yourself, upon itself. And, well, what would you expect from a dude who couldn't tell the difference between Texas and, oh, I don't know, Cancun? Jesus, these people. And it's so bad that toward the end of the year, his own daughter, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz's own daughter, even went on TikTok to slam him, and I think I know why. Rafaelito has a teenage daughter, Caroline, and she has to live in the toxic shadow of her toxic daddy. And so you get this. The real reason she started the video was because of the Christmas card photo that her family took.
I got a lot of new followers because of my father. I was thinking I could, like, pros and cons, because some people were asking, I don't know. So some of the good things are we get, like, candy and gifts in the mail, and we also get to travel sometimes. Some of the bad things are I literally have to have security following me everywhere. Like, if I want to go on a walk through the neighborhood or, like, to my friend's house or something, I have to have, like, two security guards behind me the entire time. Also, a lot of people judge me based upon him at first glance, but I really disagree with most of his views. Also, on the Christmas card, they literally made my shirt longer, so this is how it's supposed to look.
Sorry for the visual, but on the Christmas card, she had, for the Christmas card shoot, she had worn a little knitted cami top with spaghetti straps and sort of a cable knit and then rib knit there's about 4 inches of bare midriff, about an inch below her belly button and about 2 inches above. And they photoshopped it to make her decent. Yeah, really. My heart goes out to this child. It really does. She got body shamed by her own daddy in their Christmas card photo. And she got back at him by putting the actual picture out there. This kind of reminds me of, what, a year or two ago when Carry On Conjob, advisor to Nitwit Nero, when her own daughter just came for her viciously and deservedly. These kids, you can't, if they have anything resembling a functional mind, you cannot keep them in an intellectual lockbox. She said, this is how it's supposed to look. Well, Caroline, you're lucky that they didn't Photoshop a handmaid's robe on you with the little stupid white hat. Because, you know, that's who your daddy is. And she's bound to know. She doesn't live in a vacuum. She's bound to know that her daddy let Nitwit Nero call her mama ugly and suggest that her great-grandfather, or her grandfather, rather, her grandfather, had a hand in the Kennedy assassination. I disagree with him on almost everything, she said. Can you imagine? She is probably absolutely itching to get out and get away from him. That's a and you know, the fact of the matter is, if you body shame your child, especially if you body shame your female child, you are an abusive parent. And so I feel bad for her, but I'm proud of her for that little bit of bold resistance. But you know, the morons you have always with you, and so we need to take a little stop in Talibandiana, where one of the local TV stations, WISH, is reporting that there is a thing in the legislature there, a draft, mind you, it hasn't been introduced, Senate Bill 124, Richard Essex, reporting for WISH, said, quote, "According to a draft of Senate Bill 124 on the General Assembly's website, drivers would not have to use turn signals 200 feet before changing lanes or turning, nor would have to use turn signals 300 feet before changing lanes in a 50-mile-per-hour zone. It wasn't clear Wednesday what change Freeman is after, or if the senator is trying to remove any mandatory use of turn signals in Talibandiana." Freeman referenced is a senator, a state senator there in Talibandiana. No turn signals. Turn signals bad. Because why? Because freedom! Now, he caught enough hell that he did get around to saying, "Well, I didn't intend to totally eliminate turn signal standards. I'm just clarifying law doesn't mandate they be activated at a certain distance." So then the question arises, do you use your turn signal, like, immediately before you, and just to keep things interesting for the people behind you and the people in front of you? Libertarianism in action! Gotta love it. Beautiful thing. Jesus. Next up, maybe he'll go after stop signs. You know, we don't need stop signs in America. We got freedom here. And you know, the principles of Ayn Rand say that the strongest and bestest driver should get to go first and just let everybody else wait and engage in some enlightened selfishness. Oh, okay, well, we got an answer now. Thank you, Lee, in New York. That everything makes sense now. Sure it does. He doesn't want people turning left. That's a cowbell. I had to think about it for a second, but that's definitely a cowbell. It looks like... It looks like I've just about run Silent R. Lamar out of the program. After this, I must go back to work on the grounds of being sick in the head. Today's Republicans, if they were to go back to 1963, I can hear them say, "Why did Kennedy not duck? And why are you upset about my friend the shooter? Kennedy should have ducked. What the fuck?" And I'm sick in the head. I see firsthand the dumbing down of Americans. Hey, asshole. We're past. Sorry, just talking to myself, Silent R says. No, you just talk to the whole community. You're good. You're good. But, you know, there's an element of truth there. There's no doubt about it. Morons, right? So many morons. You know, what else? Where else? This is true. It occurs to me, Stephen New York says, the GOP is just one big dick pic. I will let that speak for itself. Meanwhile, 2022 may be off to a bit of a rough start for Trader Tot and Precious Princess Iwankamadaddy Trump Kushner. Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York, has issued subpoenas for Precious Princess Iwankamadaddy Trump Kushner and Trader Tot because they are executives at the Trump Organization, and she continues her investigation into that arguably allegable criminal enterprise. The subpoenas were unsealed today, and there's a schedule for challenges to the requests, the subpoenas, for the pair to sit for depositions. They had agreed to file challenges by December 27th. There is no indication as to whether the challenges were filed. They're all, the two gits and their daddy were all named as defendants in the civil action that Letitia James opened last year. And the pettifogger, the latest pettifogger, silly enough to actually sign on to defend the Trump gang, one Alina Habba, who probably won't... probably won't get paid. Alina Habba issued a statement saying that the subpoenas, which, remember, were issued within the New York Rules of Civil Procedure, which are in use on a daily basis in the state of New York, represent a threat to our democracy. And that Letitia James, according to Alina Habba, has weaponized her office through this political witch hunt.
Now listen, sister, I'm not going to hire you unless you use the right words. Every time something happens, you have to call it a witch hunt, and I have to get paid for using my term, which is witch hunt.
By the way, this investigation's been going on since March 2019. It all has to do with the property valuation practices of the Trump gang. In which, for tax purposes, they would undervalue their property, but for seeking loans, they would overvalue their property. You know, arguably, fraudulent behavior within the law. And odds are, well, they've already got the information that they want, because of... other people who are probably already talking to them. And they just want to give Trader Tot and Precious Princess Iwankamadaddy Trump Kushner a chance to talk them into some talk themselves into a perjury charge. Meanwhile, the latest update on the case is that they're refusing to issue with they're refusing to comply with the subpoenas. ABC News reporting that they will file motions to quash. On what grounds? That they're Trumps? That the rules don't apply to them? Honestly, on what grounds? Overbroad fishing expedition? Hardly. These are these are two of the people who were charged with the duty in that family-owned business of dealing with the finances of the company. They were not just figureheads. They may be empty heads, but they're not figureheads. Now, the claim is that somehow or another, the Attorney General's office and the Manhattan DA's office are working inappropriately. But that's all it is a claim. But, yeah, the a pettifogger by the name of Fischetti said, "This is an opportunity for them to get Donald Trump's testimony under oath and then turn it over to the district attorney's office." Turn it over? It's a subpoena in a civil case, not under seal. It'll be public record. It's not like Donald and Ivana's divorce, where she testified about about the domestic violence he had engaged in, and about the copy of Hitler's speeches that he kept on his night on his bedside table. You know, kind of like there's a giddy up Bible in every hotel room nightstand drawer. So it's another one of those wait and sees for the year to come. And of course, if this was any other human being on Earth, the subpoena would be simply bounced. I mean, the motion to quash would be bounced. The subpoenas would go forward. But no, this will be dragged all the way to the highest court of appeal, civil appeal that the state of New York has, and then they'll try to figure out some way to get it to the Supreme Court, in the hopes that eventually the subpoena will be quashed by a majority made up of at least three Trump appointees on the Supreme Court, with a couple more playing along, like, oh, I don't know, pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas, who, just like Nitwit Nero, is a credibly accused perpetrator of sexual abuse, at the very least, and, Sammy Bad Breath Alito, who might actually despise black people as much or more than Donald Trump does. Yeah. Wait, back to Talibandiana. No left turns? Matt in San Francisco says he'd love downtown San Francisco. My favorite activity is to witness visitors navigating the streets. Yeah, that's probably... No left turns. How are you gonna get to the? Well, never mind. I understand. Turn signals, Ron in Raleigh. Hellfire. Here, turn signals have been an extra cost option, or so it seems, for quite a while, and stoplights and stop signs are just a suggestion. Happy New Year, Ron says. P.S. Happy New Year. Beginning my 48th year smoke free. Congratulations. And so what does that mean for Now, I'm not trying to get you to give away your age, but how old were you when you quit? I'm beginning my, well, September 15th will be my second year smoke-free. So, yay. You got me by 46 years. But no, I get what you're talking about, because rolling stops, what are those called? What's that called? A California stop? That's what it was called when I got a ticket for one of those once upon a time. I came to a full stop. No, you didn't. It's a deep and abiding philosophical question, what constitutes a full stop. But in Talibandiana, aren't the cops going to be upset about this? Because failure to signal is one of those bullshit probable cause things that are generally used when the cop in question wants to maybe see if somebody might have some marijuanas in their car. Yeah, I did. Steve said, you just said duty. Sorry, I really needed any bit of levity. I understand. Cowbell nomination, Lee in New York says, I consider Tiffany Trump the jewel of his offspring. If she goes to prison, it'll be on visiting day. Yeah, she'll be in that little stripe outside the corner, but just visiting. I'm sorry, I'm just checking the mail here. So I have Phil Robstard through the first hour of the program, and I'm really happy to say I think I'm getting better. The pain is not the pain of sitting is not nearly what it was. It's still there, but then again, I took it real easy over the weekend, and it was mostly just the little physical therapy thing I have to do three times a day for about an hour and a half, and a whole lot of ice packs and a whole lot of reclining. Cleopatra's barge has left the building, but things are getting decidedly better. And being as how it's more in Monday, there's been a oh, what's that? Todd just said, damn, Ron and Raleigh, 48 years? Duke is Raleigh, Raleigh is Duke. Now, that may be some sort of coded message for people who understand that neck of the woods. No, what I was saying a moment ago, there has been that's true. There's been a Chris Matthews, a Tweety Matthews sighting. You might recall he got run from NBC when it turned out that he had done some creepy, skeevy, old white guy stuff. And maybe it looks like maybe he's trying to angle to get his old dig back, because months and months and months after he got bounced, he said, "I want Hardball fans to know how ... I appreciate your faith in me. 2022 could be a great time to show what we've learned." And then, because he is such a font of wisdom, he said, "I tried to warn we were headed too far left." And apparently too far left means that MSNBC replaced Tweety with Joyanne Reed. I guess that's too far left, replacing someone who had a Me Too problem with someone who, you know, hadn't perved on any young women. Too far left. Still trying to figure out what that means. I don't know. Maybe he tweeted it while he was sitting next to Joe Manchin or something. I am absolutely flummoxed at this notion of too far left. And the fact that so many Americans can be taken in by the idea that Joe Manchin is a centrist. Joe Manchin would make George Wallace look like a freaking commie. God. Okay, good point. Our buddy John in Central PA says, too far left or too far black? Ta-da! Yeah, exactly. Too far left, you know, wanting people to be able to go to the doctor when they're sick. By the way, just a little mention, I have re-entered the masses of America's millions of uninsured. My healthcare premium for January 2022 rose to more than $1,700 a month. Can't do it. It's impossible. So I got to try to figure something out again. But, you know, it would be too far left for the American people just to be enrolled in a healthcare program at birth and let it follow them the rest of their days. Too far left! If we want parents to be able to take paid time off to actually parent their newborns, too far left! If we want bridges not to collapse at rush hour with a shit ton of cars on them, too far left. If we watch hurricane force winds blow through Boulder, Colorado, and leave thousands of people homeless and their homes in ashes, and we want to do something about climate change, too far left. For those of us who recognize that if we ever want to get past this godforsaken pandemic, and that everybody needs to be vaccinated, and a good way to do that is to let people understand that no jab, no job, too far left! Yeah, too far left. And that's the, you know, that's the for-profit, that is a prince, if you will, of the for-profit media. Too far left! And I'm pretty sure that he didn't tweet that from a soup line or anything. Because all the things that are too far left really don't touch a Tweety Matthews, do they? No. Ah, here's our answer from Ron. Smoking, nasty habit, fella, girl. I added the girl part. I started smoking by stealing my dad's Camel non-filtered Truly coffin nails. I was 12. I quit at 22. I smoked everything under the sun. Galois, Players, English Ovals, Export A and B from Canada, Sobrani Black and Golds, Cherbitties, just to name a few. Oh my God, I haven't seen Cherbitties in ages. Whew. It's like setting fire to a rope that had been rolled. Never mind. left turns. Rusty says, didn't a former driver of J. Edgar Hoover write a book called that about J. Edgar's fear of making left turns? Oh, I'm not familiar with that, but I know J. Edgar had a lot of fears. You know, fears of being caught dressed up in a stunning cocktail frock, fears of people figuring out that his granddad was black. The closet is a hell of a terrifying place. Meanwhile, Billable Rick is getting his pettifogger on. What's a full stop? I'd liken what constitutes a full stop to what constitutes a catch in football. To paraphrase Justice Potter Stewart, I know it when I see it, referencing what constitutes pornography. You know, there's a reference to that in Ted Lasso, too. If you haven't watched it yet, you really missed out on something. Sorry, unpaid product placement, but damn, it's fun. What a cast. All right, rub it in, Steve. I'd like to toast Jim Harbaugh with an overflowing glass of Choca-Cola for TTUN's playoff trouncing. They scored a whopping 11 points, so I offer an $11 challenge. So if somebody else out there was rooting not so much for Georgia but against Michigan, feel free to answer Steve's challenge. It would be great. It would get us down to, let's see, 558 to go in fundraising, and that would mean 258 to, and remember, we've also got Bruce's Memorial Challenge on the table, and that would answer the end of December and leave us fully funded for the first day of this, first broadcast day of this new year. And since Steve couldn't resist bringing it up, I won't take but a second on this, I promise, you don't have to turn away. I'm just going to say this. I renew my continuing objection. I think there needs to be a rule, and I don't think it would upset the apple cart. There needs to be a rule in college football. You cannot play in the national championship game if you did not win your conference. God, that's a little bit too strident, Robin. That sounds like, we will go to the moon not because it is easy, but because it is hard. No, seriously. How can you be a national champion if you play in a powerful conference and you couldn't win that conference? How can you claim a national championship if the best you can do is go 1-1 against the team that actually did win your conference? This keeps happening, and I keep hating it. True. Correction. Ron and Raleigh says, the justice said he knew obscenity when he saw it. If it ain't obscene, what good is it? Yeah, not pornography. Obscenity lacking political, social, or artistic value, right? And you don't know. And basically what Potter Stewart was saying is we'll gauge this on a case-by-case basis. As to Ron's 10-year smoking habit, the English ovals were great in their own weird kind of way, Todd says. They were very different, very strong. Next to the roll-your-own-drum, the Shorty Camel non-filters were pretty good cigarettes, nowhere near as good as a Dunhill. Well, I'm old school when it comes to unfiltered cigarettes, and you can still get them. They're not nearly what they were, but Chesterfield Kings. They weren't little stubs like Camels were. They're more of a typical, yeah. Oh, never mind. Thank you, George. George just jumped in, and so Steve's challenge is met, and then some. So, let's see. We are at 544 to go, and that means that all taken together, that's $36 out of Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Thank you, George. Thank you so much. Yeah, but does that make sense? That you could, in this goofball playoff system, that you could win a so-called national championship without having won your conference. Without actually being the best in your conference, you can somehow be the best in the country. To me, that sort of beggars credibility. Well, thank you. Our buddy Tom in sunny San Rafael, now 39 years a non-smoker, says, reclining, even without the barge, just my 2 cents worth. If reclining is more comfortable, by all means recline, even if it means using a different mic. I'm far more interested in what you have to say than how the sound quality is. Thank you, Tom. That's very kind. Reclining is not an option. Maybe at some point in time I'll scrape together all my nickels. And Brother Deacon Asa said that he would be happy to consult with me on one of those highfalutin gaming chairs. It's got all kind of bolsters and will recline and things like that. And I could just take the gooseneck here. You hear that? That's the gooseneck of the microphone. And just drag it over. So maybe at some point. So that's the end of my college football complaint. Roll Tide. And we'll see, you know. And that's why we have to play the game. You put your 11 up against their 11 and you play the game. You got to play the game. That's why we got to play the game. You can't play it on paper. And I'm going to resist the urge to continue and talk about Antonio Brown and his latest. Dude used a fake vaccine card, really? And he got suspended for that, but then it was like, eh, come on back. Because at that point in time, they kind of had to let him come back, because after all, Aaron Rodgers didn't use a fake vaccine card. He just lied about being vaccinated and put his entire team at risk. But dude, yesterday, Antonio Brown, wide receiver, Tampa Bay, kind of made Bruce Arians, the head coach of the Bucks, look silly. Arians didn't want to bring him on board, but brought him on board anyway and said, first time he screws up, he's out of here. Well, he screwed up. He went out of there. And yesterday, he decided to get half undressed in the stadium when he demanded to be taken out because he was injured. Bum ankle. Curiously, not walking with any limp whatsoever, and took off his jersey, took off his shoulder pads, took off his undershirt, and threw them and waved at the crowd and walked off. And God, well, what do you expect from somebody who would fake a vaccine card? It's not about the card. No. So is this more in Monday enough? I mean, we got, oh Lord Jesus, we got more ends. Too far left. Darn fools. Smoke those two. This is turning into things Ron and Raleigh smoked. Lucky Strikes, Paul Malls, Reds and Gold, Hundreds. I chose Territons and Herbert Territons as my regulars. Stopped on Salem Menthol 100s. Oddly enough, being a black guy, never smoked Cools. No Newports either? No, Salems are enough. Peppermint cigarettes. Who came up with those? Jesus. Let's see, what, this is kind of pathetic. No, it's real pathetic. 59-year-old woman in, in Collierville, Tennessee, dead from the Rona. She was Miss Mississippi in 1984, and, she went home to be with the Lord on December the 23rd. Kathy Manning had been Miss Mississippi in 1984 and was the second runner-up in the Miss America pageant in 1985.
It's a scholarship program, not a pageant!
Sorry, I just love Miss Congeniality. One of my favorite little lighthearted comedies. She got a psychology degree from Ole Miss. She was a model for Coppertone and Maybelline. She toured with the USO in Asia and Central America and the Caribbean. She was a Christian recording artist and entertainer. She did weddings and baptisms. She was the weather person for ABC affiliate WHBQ Channel 13 in Memphis. Did a lot of philanthropic work. Her obituary said, in all of these and more, she left a mark on nearly everyone she met during her high school, college, and recent grad years. She was known as Mississippi's sweetheart. And after moving to Memphis, which is almost like being in Mississippi, many people viewed her as the heart of the city, and our hearts ache in her loud absence, especially during this holiday season. I'm not making fun. This is pathetic. This is tragic. No word here on whether, you know, she was, well, vaccinated. I guess that's not a done thing to put that in obituaries. Died of COVID, wasn't vaccinated. Maybe it should be a thing. I don't know. In more serious news, and one hopes this is for real, I hope it is. There is some talk in Senate Democratic circles that there may be a rule change potentially in the offing, you know, if Joe Manchin will, and Kyrsten Sinema will let them. Today, Chuck Schumer said that on or before the 17th of January, the Senate will vote on changing its own rules. That is if the Republicans keep trying to keep people from voting. He wrote a letter to Senate Democrats and said, let me be clear. 6 January was a symptom of a broader illness, an effort to delegitimize our election process, and the Senate must advance systemic democracy reforms to repair our republic, or else the events of that day will not be an aberration. They will be the new norm. One year ago this week, we experienced great sorrow. Mere hours after the dawn of a new Congress and a new majority, our beloved Capitol was attacked. It was attacked in a naked attempt to derail our republic's most sacred tradition, the peaceful transfer of power. Domestic violent extremists sought to inflict chaos and violence, fueled by conspiracy and the ravings of a vengeful former president. They sought to destroy our republic. Any arguments? Any disagreements? Our democracy held, for now. As we're all witnessing the attacks on our democracy, and I'm sorry, that I understand the need to use that phrase, but as someone with a soupçon of history under her belt, it still grates. Our democracy, but it's also a matter of perspective. It is very much a matter of perspective because this is what we have is certainly better than what the maggots have in mind for us, you know, full on fascism. And I don't think and I think maybe it gave us a sense of perspective for that. That maybe we didn't have before. As we're all witnessing, the attacks on our democracy have not ceased. In fact, they've only accelerated. Much like the violent insurrectionists who stormed the U.S. Capitol nearly a year ago, Republican officials in states across the country have seized on the former president's big lie about widespread voter fraud to enact anti-democratic legislation and seize control of typically nonpartisan election administration functions. While these actions all proceed under the guise of so-called election integrity, the true aim couldn't be more clear. They want to unwind the progress of our union. Good on you, Chuck Schumer, for referring to it as the union. That's kind of a rarity. Words matter. Restrict access to the ballot, silence the voices of millions of voters, and undermine free and fair elections. They wish to propagate the big lie perpetuated by the former president that our elections are not on the level. Make no mistake about it. This week, Senate Democrats will make clear what happened on January 6th and the one-sided partisan actions being taken by Republican-led state legislatures across the country are directly linked. And we can and must take strong action to stop this anti-democratic march. Specifically, as we honor the brave Capitol Police officers who defended us from those motivated by the big lie, who tried to undo a fair and free election, Senate Democrats will continue to make the case for passing voting rights legislation to counter the Republican voter suppression and election nullification laws with the same anti-democratic motives born out of the big lie. This is a long single-spaced letter. And knowing that he's taking dead aim at the filibuster, he says, "The Senate was designed to protect the political rights of the minority in the chamber through the promise of debate and the opportunity to amend. But over the years, those rights have been warped and contorted to obstruct and embarrass the will of the majority, something our founders explicitly opposed. The Constitution specified what measures demanded a supermajority, including impeachment or the ratification of treaties, but they explicitly rejected supermajority requirements for legislation, having learned firsthand of such a requirement's defects under the Articles of Confederation. The weaponization of rules once meant to short-circuit obstruction have been hijacked to guarantee obstruction." That is it. Look, I've given Chuck Schumer hell over the years, but somebody on his staff knows them some history and has laid that and has laid that out in really cogent, comprehensible language in a single paragraph. We must ask ourselves, if the right to vote is the cornerstone of our democracy, then how can we in good conscience allow for a situation in which the Republican Party can debate and pass voter suppression laws at the state level with only a simple majority vote, but not allow the United States Senate to do the same? We must adapt. The Senate must evolve, like it has many times before. The Senate was designed to evolve and has evolved many times in our history. As former Senator Robert Byrd famously said, Senate rules, quote, must be changed to reflect changed circumstances. Put more plainly by Senator Byrd, quote, Congress is not obliged to be bound by the dead hand of the past. Now, why do you reckon there's a couple of quotes from Senator Byrd in there? Reckon some conversations have already been had with the senior senator from West by God? Because Manchin has said that he supports some voting law reform. I'm guessing that's in there to provide him a foundation upon which to stand. Schumer closes saying the fight for the ballot is as old as the Republic. Over the coming weeks, the Senate will once again consider how to perfect this union and confront the historic challenges facing our democracy. We hope our Republican colleagues change course and work with us. But if they do not, the Senate will debate and consider changes to our Senate rules on or before January 17th. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, to protect the foundation of our democracy. free and fair elections. I give credit where credit's due. Now what he has to do is follow through. And make no mistake, Moscow Mitch will be standing there doing everything in his power to stop it cold. But that letter, it's called a Dear Colleague letter. That letter went right to Joe Manchin's office there in the Hart Senate office building. So whether that is a tell or an attempt at convincing Joe Manchin, that kind of remains to be seen. And it goes hand in hand with something that got said on MSNBC. Over the weekend. Bishop Reverend William Barber, co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign, was on the show that Alicia Menendez hosts, American Voices. And he asked something that I've been alluding to for a while. As noted, most of the for-profit media have done everything but hand over the keys to the House of Representatives to the Republicans. Oh, they're bound to win. Yeah, they're going to win. Yeah, Kevin McCarthy going to be the Speaker. Yeah. And of course, there's Matt Gaetz out there saying, no, I ain't. I'm going to make my God Emperor the Speaker of the House. Which could happen. You'd be surprised the number of people who don't understand that you do not have to be a member of the House of Representatives to be its speaker. That's fact. And so, you know, Matt, it just gets worse, is out there pimping that stupid idea, that stupid, dangerous, bloody idea. And while I was tuned into my filthy morning habit earlier today, I noticed... And I left the room while most of this was going on, but I don't know if it was on my filthy morning habit or on the program that comes on afterward. But they had somebody on to talk about a new civil war. Part of the reason I had to leave the room was that I was about that felt like doing a little screaming, because what the guest said was that the notion of secession was unspeakable 20 years ago, but then went on to say, but the idea has now become mainstream. I presume he thinks it's mainstream now because Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Cueball is out there blithering about our national divorce. Well, there is no such thing. And secession has already been addressed by the Supreme Court in the post-Civil War years. Plain and simple. But still, I guess it makes good copy and gets good clicks. And so back to Alicia Menendez with Reverend Barber. By the way, I do not have to filibuster through this program. If there's conversation you want to engage in, I heartily encourage you to jump in. The stress line's open, 844-843-4676. Or, of course, Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. On Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. And either one will get you into the program. And you're welcome to join in the conversation. But, no, here's Reverend Barber.
government. I want you to take a listen to what Wisconsin Congresswoman Gwen Moore told my colleague Yasmin Vesugian about the president's agenda. Take a listen.
Build Back Better is alive and well, trust me. You know, I've listened very carefully to Joe Manchin's criticism of this initiative, and it's not that he doesn't share the values of the American people, that a basic child credit is due hardworking families. He's been more concerned about funding it for a mere year.
Have taken out full page ads. You have had rallies to pressure Manchin. Do you share the Congresswoman's optimism that the senator will come around on Build Back Better?
Only if there's pressure. And part of the problem is too many people have not done pressure. They've sat in the back room with him and given him time. And the pressure has to come from West Virginia, has to come from impacted people. 80% of West Virginians want to expand voting rights. 75% want Build Back Better. One of the things we think the president and the vice president need to do is they need to, first of all, meet with poor and low-wage people who have asked to meet with them and religious leaders, and then give them the mic so that we turn this from being Biden versus Manchin and Sinema to Manchin and Sinema versus the 140 million poor and low-wealth people in this country. Mm. We also have to be clear, we can't bifurcate these. We should have never separated infrastructure from the infrastructure of our daily lives, which is Build Back Better, on the infrastructure of our democracy. He shouldn't have gotten by. We knew Manchin was lying. But more importantly, we have to tell people that when you talk about Build Back Better, you're talking about 31 million families being lifted. You're talking about 17 million low-wage workers. You're talking about 4 million people getting health care that don't have it. You're talking about millions of home health care workers getting $15 living wages and paid leave. You're talking about 32 million people, if you pass $15 living wage, being raised from poverty to a living wage. And when you talk about voting rights, you're talking about 56 million people who use processes in 2020 that if we allow voter suppression to continue, they would no longer have that access. So we need to keep it together. We need to put poor and low wealth people, the impacted people and religious leaders at the front of this and make this a moral issue. And if that happens, yes, you can turn the tide on this. We believe that.
The New York Times editorial board this weekend said, quote, Mr. Biden and other leading Democrats should make use of what remaining power they have to end the filibuster for voting rights legislation, even if nothing else. Reverend, you support nuking the filibuster. Do you get the sense from Democrats that you have spoken to that they are willing to take that step?
Well, I don't know, because it should have happened up front. I don't know what all the waiting has been. You know, voting rights is essential. But again, part of the problem is we're separating these things out. We believe the president, the vice president, should go to Texas, go to West Virginia, meet with people. He should go to the well of the Congress with the State of the Union and say, these are the three democracies that we must protect them. Infrastructure of our infrastructure of our democracy, infrastructure of our daily lives represented in BBB, and the infrastructure of our roads and technology. They're not separate people, pieces. But we also say that, listen, in 2020, 58 million of the 168 million people that voted were poor and low wealth. That's 35% of the electorate were poor and low income. In the battleground states, poor and low income people make up more than 40% of the electorate. So this is not just a black issue. In 10 states, Alicia, if poor and low wealth people who are already registered to vote that didn't vote would vote between 1% and 22%, they could change the outcome of elections. So it's politically crazy not to do this. It's not only morally indefensible and economically insane, it makes no sense politically. We should hold these two bills together like Dr. King. Dr. King held voting rights and economic justice together as one piece. And we should mobilize the people. The president, vice president, others are going to have to go to campaign mode to get this done. It's not going to get done just in the back room. It's not going to get done just meeting with Manchin. It's going to get done when we allow the people to have the mic, the people who are impacted. If they get the mic and you put a face on it, a white face, black face, brown face, Latino face, Asian face, Native American face, and America sees herself, that we believe. And that's why in June 18, 2022, We are mobilizing and organizing thousands upon thousands of people for a national mass poor people's low-wage workers assembly, moral march on Washington, and to the polls, because it's time for that sleeping giant to wake up, and that's poor and low-wealth people who have more power than we give them credit for. So I would not lastly say to people, they keep saying, well, the midterms are going to be a certain way. That's the past. What if you have a massive turnout of poor and low-wealth people? What if folk turn out like never before? What if they know what to fight? We don't know what could happen in this midterm, but we know this. We have to fight. We have to turn out in that filibuster, pass voting rights, pass BBB, and then let's go to the poll.
Clear enough, don't you think? Same thing I've been asking. The for-profit media can always be counted on to parrot the conventional wisdom, the conventional political logic, which in this case is a way of saying if it didn't happen yesterday, it can't possibly happen tomorrow. It can happen. The question becomes one of motivating people, and that's exactly what Reverend Barber was talking about. Get people to the polls, get them registered, get them voting, get them excited, because again, we're as liberals, progressives, Democrats, we have to be excited. And well, maybe it's not excitement this time. Maybe it's fear. Maybe scare people enough to realize that if you don't vote this time, you may never do it again. Because that's a fact. The right to vote is absolutely on the line. It's terrifying to behold or to consider. And, you know, just as... If you want an example, this is something that was entirely unnecessary, save for the fact that they know what it is that motivates their base. So in the past week, another one of those godforsaken screeds came out from Nitwit Nero, in which, why? Well, the why is because there is a cult, a fascist cult. That's what Maggot World is. They are fascist to the core. They're done with democracy. They lose when democracy happens. And so, consequently, you got this in the last week.
Viktor Orban of Hungary truly loves his country and wants safety for his people. He has done a powerful and wonderful job in protecting Hungary, stopping illegal immigration, creating jobs, trade, and should be allowed to continue to do so in the upcoming capital E election. He is a strong leader and respected by all. He has my complete support and capital E endorsement for re-election as prime minister. Now, we can ask a couple of questions just to get us started, like, for instance, wonder how much that cost Viktor Orban. Because Nitwit Nero doesn't do that for free. Oh, no. Oh, no. And so, yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong in asking that question. But Jesus, the real reason he did it is because it gets his supporters all hot and bothered and lathered up because. You know, little minions like Tucker Carlson are big Viktor Orban fans. Who's that one former spokesman, advisor guy? Can't remember. Grody ass. But not the man who looks like old hot dog water smells. No. I think he works for Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground now. But, big Viktor Orban. And, the man who looks like old hot dog water smells, Steve Bannon, big Viktor Orban fan. And Hungary is a
totemic object for the fascism for which the right yearns in this country. And so, you know, Erdogan in Turkey, Putin, they're all cut from the same cloth. And it is fascist cloth. And it marches. So that. Let's see. Let's pop over to the stress line and see who we've got there. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Robin.
Well, hey.
Dave in the blind.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
I'm great. I got home from Christine's yesterday. She had to go to the hospital last night.
Is she okay?
They found a cyst. Well, they found a small cyst on her kidney.
Ooh.
Yeah. I talked to her this morning briefly. I hung up because we got cut off somehow and went to call her back. So I'm going to try to get to her place in the next couple of days and see what in the hell's going on with her phone. She absolutely loved her conversation with you.
I am so glad.
He's been talking about that conversation.
Really?
We both have since it happened. Oh, yeah. And she is just so happy. She said, I didn't realize how many people were actually pulling for me. It just kind of pulled her over. And, you know, with, you know, Shorty in L.A. and everybody giving her good wishes over all this time, she just was so humbled, and she appreciated it so much.
That's just wonderful.
I did send you a quick message about Matt Gaetz's plan to make Mitt Romney the Speaker of the House.
Yes, I saw that.
Isn't there a requirement that the Speaker actually be able to complete sentences?
Actually, no. Sadly, no.
Really? I think they ought to amend the House rules then.
Well, this didn't sit well with Jude in the Great Northwest either. She said, I can't comprehend what you stated. Since the Speaker of the House is third in line for the United States presidency, please advise. She said, it's downright unnerving. Well, it's just a fact. The Speaker of the House is elected by the House in assembly, and there is no requirement that the Speaker be an actual member of the House of Representatives.
I know the last time they had a speaker, I forget the man's name, they've had speakers who were not members of the House. The last time it was a gentleman from Great Britain who had been born in Britain. So, but that was in the 19th century. Probably the early part of the century. But yeah, it's happened before. But this is a naked power grab.
Sure. Here's the question. If you consider, I mean, Kevin McCarthy wants to be Speaker. He dreams of it. He yearns for it. He probably masturbates over it, frankly. But he also understands that he owes his political and perhaps corporeal existence to Nitwit Nero. This is what happens when you allow a political party to be held in thrall to a fascist thug. And make no mistake, Donald Trump is a fascist thug. So the question is, what would Kevin McCarthy do? I mean, Matt Gaetz has said it out loud. He said, look, if we take the House back, we're going to make Donald Trump Speaker of the House. And there seems to be no particular urgency in regard to the investigation of the allegations that Matt, it just gets worse, paid money to an underage girl to have sex. So he'll probably still probably still be in the House in January of 2023. And if the conventional wisdom is true, it's all over except the voting, and the Republicans are going to take the majority, then, I mean, do you just laugh off what Matt Gaetz said?
Ha ha ha!
That silly Matt Gaetz. And then you have to ask, then you have to ask the next question, Dave, which is, what does the faced with such a thing, what does the House do? What do the maggots in the House do? Do they make Kevin McCarthy Speaker, or do they make Nitwit Nero Speaker if he evinces an interest in having the job? And I think we both know what that answer is, because to vote against Nitwit Nero for anything is to incur his eternal wrath.
Yeah, but I see this blowing up in the Republicans' face on this point. Let's say, worst of all worlds, they take back the House. They put Nitwit Nero in as Speaker of the House, although I think they should change the title to Mumbler of the House. The thing is, if a vote, a procedural vote, doesn't go his way, or it's delayed and he didn't want it delayed, then he's going to bring all the maggot tree to bear and threaten and cajole. And this is
But if as Speaker he wants it to happen, and if he has a majority, Dave, it'll happen.
The thing is, if he's the Speaker and there are Republicans in that group that don't want a specific procedure to happen at that particular time,
well, they will cross him at their peril. Remember, this isn't like, oh, you know, disagreeing with Nancy Pelosi. Our side isn't, you know, we don't march around outside your house with fucking assault rifles. Maggots do.
Yeah, my biggest concern is not so much the House, because the House is going to do what it's going to do. It's the Senate, because you know they're going to impeach Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, the jaywalker.
Sure. And Jim Jacket Off Jordan, it would be the chair of House Judiciary. And maybe if we go back and consider for a second, what Reverend Barber was saying, maybe that's some of the messaging that needs to come from somebody like Reverend Barber. Is this what you want? Here's the realities. Here's what happens if you're not excited. Here's what happens if you didn't get a pony in the last 2 years and you decide to stay home.
Reverend Barber has a voice, but I'm beginning to wonder, having seen some of my relatives on Christine's side of the family, one is talking like Donald Trump. Her sister, Kay, and I got into it. She was yelling at Christine because Christine was paying ahead on, like, her insurance and things like that. And she has several thousand dollars saved up. And so she'll pay the insurance and things like that ahead. She'll consult with her attorneys. She paid for the legal services a year ahead. And my sister-in-law is just livid. Well, why are you spending all this money? And Christine looked at her and said, because it's my money. And it,
well, that was my next question. Is she under the impression that it's hers?
No, I think she is, because Christine put when...
Oh, wait, hold up. Is this the sister that holds the POA?
There is no POA, financial POA.
Okay, thank God.
The POA that she holds is medical. I talked to Jerry, speaking of the POA. He drew it up specifically so that it would not be in effect if Christine was conscious and competent. And Christine was worried about Kay going into court and having her declared incompetent. Her psychologist said it's not going to happen. You don't go anywhere near incompetency. So she has Life Alert. Life Alert called me to let me know that she was going to the hospital. They did not contact Kay. I was over there.
Dave, was it an emergency situation?
Last night, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she wasn't feeling well. I mean, really feeling well. They found a small cyst on her kidney.
I don't want to violate any privacies or anything, but are they doing something for her?
They said it's too small to operate on, but I told her, I said, keep an eye on it, dear. She is so livid with Kay right now. Anyway,
oh,
Kay and I got in. I told Kay, I said, stop yelling at her. Well, who the fuck are you? Let's just say, I must apologize to all sex workers for some of the things I said to Kay. But, I told Kay, she said, who are you? I said, I'm whoever she says I am. You know,
that's kind of got a Genesis flavor of it when Moses is talking on to the burning bush and he says, who shall I say sent me? I am that I am.
I was thinking more along the line of the itinerant rabbi in the New Testament. Who do you say I am? You know. And I find that ironic considering I'm an atheist. But she was like, well, you're of no account. It was all about money. Christine and I both have held insurance licenses, life insurance licenses in Indiana. We've gone through the training. We've gone through the testing. We at one time held those licenses. And one of the things you learn is, if a client's willing to pay the 6 months off at the beginning, they get a discount. Okay, that makes sense. Insurance companies have a certain set of money they know is there, and fine. But my sister-in-law was always saying, no, it isn't. That's not the way it works. She said that T-Mobile did not sell iPhones when we all know that they do. Anything Christine said, well, you don't know what you're talking about. And this is ableism at its most naked.
Sounds
she
like.
She had this problem when she came home from the military because she almost died from a PCP overdose that somebody put into her food.
Jesus.
She did not intentionally. It caused schizoaffective disorder to develop. She was hearing voices. I'm not saying anything confidential or anything. Christine will tell you this stuff herself. She and I and her therapists and her support teams throughout the decades have tried to encourage her to do as much for herself as she can. And Christine knows what a self-advocate I am. But she's like, I was talking to her this morning, and she said, able-bodied people are just driving me nuts. Christine's family treats her as if she's broken goods. My side of the family, even the right winger on my side of the family, treat her as they treat everybody else in the family. And Christine will tell you that she gets along better with my side of the family than she does her own. So, I mean, hell, they're planning to go ziplining this summer. Christine and my sister Kathy. Christine did some ziplining about a year and a half ago. And she loved it. And so that's the kind of thing she wants to get back to doing. She wants to get back to playing poker with her friends. She wants to do all this. And all the time her sister is telling her, no, 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 you should just sit back. And Christine's like, no, I don't sit back. She doesn't sit still. She's worked all of her life. Now she can't. And I said, Christine, what you need to do is reach out to places like Indiana Voc Rehab and places like that. They can bring in the agencies or whatever you need to get back into the workforce if that's what you really want to do. And she was taking a self-assessment. She's like, okay, I've got to learn Braille. I've got to learn this technology. And it, frankly, Robin, it's scaring her. But
it's daunting.
Know, she, you know, I told her, I said, well, what would you like to do? She wanted to make a challenge, but I'm going to be downtown and I can send it off. But she wanted to make a $50 Ink Girls Are Tough challenge because you have your tattoos, he has her tattoos, and frankly, tattooed women are tougher and can kick your ass. So she wanted me to put that out there, a $50 challenge.
I can happily announce that Bruce's challenge was met by an anonymous friend, and that leaves us with like $280. So that $50 would get us down to $180, and we'd be done with last month.
Yay!
So, thank you, and thank Christine. I really would rather that she did not do this until we know that she's okay. And
she's okay, Robin. She's okay. She gets all of her medical care through the VA. She's 100% service connected, which means he doesn't pay a dime for her medical care. Okay.
Okay.
And over the last nest since March. She saved up a lot of money, and she wants to do this.
Okay.
And I've learned over the years to pick your battles. I mean, I understand if she was going to a regular hospital, I would go, you know what, honey, wait until the insurance comes through, you know, to see what you got. But the VA pays for everything for her, unless she goes outside the VA system, which she's done a few times. But the last time it wasn't her fault, and they ended up covering it. So you don't have to worry about that. And she's not putting herself in any financial danger by sending $50 to you.
Okay.
But she wanted me to put it out as a challenge. And if it's met, and we'll keep it up, let's say, until the next $50 is. But the faster that's done, the sooner you can get, breathe a little easier, sister, you know? And besides, she's 62 years old. You're not going to argue with her?
No, I got that. No, I don't ever want to.
No. The people who really piss her off end up drawing back bloody stump. So, personally, I think she missed her calling. I think if she had decided to go to law school, she would have done fantastic. She's the kind of person who thinks through her argument, you know, and she's just one of those people that if she's advocating for something or someone, she's in. I mean, you have a friend for life, a big sister for life with her. I can tell you that right now. And she'll look over at you and go, you know, because she was like, it was really good to talk to Robin. I really enjoyed it. She loved that the two of you hit it off like you've known each other for 20 years. You know, so, Robin, I assure you, she is not risking anything.
Well, that's good because it just got answered. The cat just jumped in. And so we got $180. We're now down to only $180, and we're done with last year because this year's challenge got met. And actually, it's not 180; it's 146.
Well, and the fact that you and she are both practitioners of the art of word knowing.
It is fun, you know.
That's a big thing for her. She's a bookworm. She loves being a bookworm. And when I first mentioned practitioner of the art of word knowing, she chuckled and she goes, "Where did you get that?" And I explained it to her. So as your fellow traveler in that practice,
out of curiosity, Dave, do you know the fullness of where it comes from?
Uh-uh.
Okay, because if you were to sit and like read it to Christine, y'all would have reading material for the next year. It comes from a really 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 long book, one of my favorites. It's a historical novel. It was 10 years in the writing by a guy named Gary Jennings, and it's the best book he wrote. He wrote several, and he did historical fiction, but this was his absolute best, and it's called Aztec, A-Z-T-E-C, and it's written from the perspective of a guy who is now old, who has witnessed the fall of the Triple Alliance and Tenochtitlan and the conquest by Cortes, and at one point in time, he learns to be a scribe, which he describes as being a practitioner of the art of knowing words, or the art of word knowing.
And she used to write science fiction and fantasy stuff, and she was an English major at IU. And so when you live with somebody like that, you have no option but to learn, expand your vocabulary. It's just impossible not to. And she does it as regularly as breathing, which I'm sure you understand.
Oh, yeah. You can fall in love with words. Oddly enough, I was talking about the Ted Lasso series. There's a, and we've all experienced it. You have those moments sometimes where a word stops seeming like it's a word, and it just, and there's a scene where the word plan, and Jason Sudeikis' character Ted Lasso, plan, and his assistant coach, Coach Beard, looks at him and says, "Word become a sound again?" "Yeah. What's that called?" And I know now. Semantic oversaturation. And
boy, what?
And Annette and I were watching. I was like, "Ooh, I know a new thing."
And you got all excited.
Yes.
I'm sure you did. But she's like, well, she's got tattoos. She's a fellow practitioner of the art of word knowing. And she was ticking off all these things that you two have in common. She said, "I'm sending her something. Don't tell her," which, you know, okay, I told you, but I want to reassure you that she's doing this out of the bottom of her heart. She just wants you to be successful and wants you to wants people to understand how vital what you do is. The fact that you come on here every weeknight for 3 hours. And I think the Horn Family Community Congregation are the smartest bunch of civic-minded human beings on the planet, no matter what part of the planet we happen to be on.
Thank you. You know, and I agree. I agree as far as the community is concerned. I absolutely agree.
Because I've heard some of the most profound and insightful political analysis from somebody who drives for her, Tracy. For God's sake, that woman is brilliant. She understands at a gut level and can explain it. I love listening to it. All of you. You make me sharper, frankly, folks. I talked to Jerry today, and, you know, Jerry is a dyed-in-the-wool conservative Republican, but he is one of those guys who really wants to do good. By the way, Jerry got married last week. He married a doctor.
She's wonderful.
Very nice lady. She's a very nice lady. She's Russian by birth. Started her medical career in the Soviet Union, and when she migrated to the United States, she's basically an OBGYN, but she has done a few gender reassignment surgeries and dealt with that. She doesn't like that because she'll do them, but she doesn't, because sometimes patients aren't real satisfied with what happens. She is a really good lady. When Christine had her stroke, she was sitting right next to Jerry while Jerry was talking to me, going, Dave, it's going to be okay. Christine's going to recover as much as she can. You know, and they were very supportive. When Jerry wrote those POAs, it was in the case that she is incapacitated. So now that she can speak for herself, they're not enforced. Even if she had signed them, which she had, she only signed the medical power of attorney. And I told the hospital I'm her ex-husband, but I'm also the secondary on her medical power of attorney. And I did that because in order for me to do that job, I have to know what's going on with her. Now, I didn't ask for specifics or anything like that. I just wanted to make sure she was okay and that she was conscious and able to, you know, express her wishes. They called me at midnight and told me they were releasing her. So that's all I needed to know.
Sometimes we take what is given, and that must be enough.
Yeah. I've got to go downtown tomorrow, but I will be. You say my challenge has been met?
Yes. Kat met it.
Okay, Kat, thank you. Thank you so much.
And by the way, I miss Seifert. The Have a Show on Me that met Bruce's Memorial Challenge actually got us finished. We're done with December. We're done with today. And oddly enough, we're working on tomorrow. So we are, and thank you, Jeremy in Vermont. My dinner for tonight is on somebody else. Take my lunch money. So we're actually $120 into tomorrow, which is awesome, which leaves us at... Yeah, that hasn't happened in a while. We'll see if it sticks.
That'll allow you to breathe a little easier, Robin.
Yeah, I'm paying a couple of bills as soon as the program's over. So we got $180 for tomorrow, which is amazing. Please, when you talk to her, tell her she's in all our thoughts. She is such a wonderful, wonderful woman, and we are all of us rooting for her because my God, the courage and the guts and the determination and the starch that she is showing is nothing short of inspiring.
I told her, you know, I would love to see her run for office, but she won't do it. She doesn't like politics. Even though she's lived with a political junkie for over 30 years, the rough and tumble is just too much for it. And Jerry and I were talking about that kind of thing tonight, and he said, the reason that Carter wasn't as effective as he could have been was he was too damned honest. I said, well, that's what you get when you get a Baptist Sunday school teacher in the Oval Office, you know, because he and I were talking about former presidents who were decent people, you know, as human beings outside of the politics. And he said, He worked around like Ann Richards, and he worked around both of the Bushes because he went to the University of Texas Law School. And he said, as people, they were all just the most personable, kind, decent, thoughtful people. He said, unfortunately, we don't see that side of our politicians that often. And unfortunately, it's getting worse with all the maggotry that's going on because they decide to elect a man who is nothing short of a two-bit imitation of a mafia don. I mean, he threatens, he cajoles. He's got people that will do his dirty work and think that they'll be fine because he's backing them. I mean, I don't understand Merrick. I understand Merrick Garland's reluctance. He wants some Republican president to appoint him to the court.
Yeah, which is ironic as hell, because if a Republican appointed him to the court, the Senate would confirm him in a New York second.
Yeah. Yeah, I honestly think that he's angling to be appointed to the court. Now, he's in his 70s now?
Yeah.
He's in his late 60s, early 70s? He could be on that court for 15 to 20 years.
Right, and that is the one thing that militates against him being appointed by a Republican president. They like to appoint child prodigies who are, you know, basically Doogie Howsers.
Have no legal experience. Amy Coney Island Barrett, you know.
Yeah, Amy Coney, the Justice Handmaid.
Yeah. They all knew what she was going to do on the court. By the time you get there, the reputation of the individual nominee is known. However, evidently Biden has appointed 40 federal judges to the bench in just this year, which is ahead of what Trump did at the one-year mark. And he's only tied by Ronald Reagan in the number of federal judges appointed in the first year of office. Because Reagan had 40 and Biden's got 40.
I was going to say, you just got a lovely note from Jude in the Great Northwest. Listening to Dave is a reminder of one who is faithful to another, an ex-wife, offers a sweet reflection on those who step up for another person. Well, just because a legal bond is ended does not mean the bonds of the heart go with it.
Right. Right. And thank you, Jude. I always listen to you when you talk, because you have such great insight, and it's comforting to know we've got that kind of thing here in the community. And so when Robin told me that you were on the line and wanted to get through, I was more than happy to let it go and, you know, let her on. So thank you, Jude. And I know Christine will love hearing that.
Well, just tell Christine that we love her to pieces, please. And just to focus, just focus on getting well and pay attention to that issue. And, you know, don't be brave. Don't be awesome. Don't be a hero. Don't be thinking, oh, I can tolerate this. No. She damned well earned the right to that care, and I hope she uses it.
Oh, she will. She does. I mean, and the VA has the best psychiatric care in the world. They're world class. Her psychologist is not only a specialist with schizoaffective disorders, but also with post-traumatic stress. And so he's a very soft-spoken guy, but when he says not to worry, Christine doesn't worry, because she knows he knows what he's talking about. Okay, Robin, I'll let you go so somebody else can get on.
Well, okay, I did want to let you know that Tracy said thank you.
You're welcome, Tracy. Now, if you ever have to teach a blind woman to drive a self-driving car, I'll give you a call. But I'm waiting for the self-driving car myself. So I don't think that's going to happen in my lifetime, but who knows? All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. You take care, Dave. Bye now.
All right, Robin. Bye.
Our buddy Dave in the blind, and the very best to Christine. The very, very best there is. And let's check in with Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Oh, hey. Hello.
Hello. Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey, girl. Hey. I'm sitting here because I'm behind an idiot that doesn't know how to turn left. Now I get to turn left and...
Oh, no. No, we had... Did you catch the story earlier? Is that why you did that?
Which... Oh... Because they don't want to turn left.
No turns. Yeah, no turn signal's going to be... Ain't going to need no turn signal in Taliban, Indiana.
Oh, Jesus. These people. It's just...
Because they're taking away, them turn signals takes away your freedom every bit as fast as the vaccine do.
Well, as a matter of fact, I forgot to tell you, when Jan and I were in Biloxi, we were, you know, driving and exploring, and there was this big old, it was this, like, entertainment center. They had bowling, mini, you know, go-karts, all sorts of stuff, right? And Jan and I, you know, toyed with the idea of going in, because, you know, you can only gamble so much before it's like, okay, I can't gamble anymore. And then we saw on the sign, on the marquee, one word, freedom. And I looked at her. Well, first we looked at all the people going in with no masks on, and we're like, well, that was, you know. That
yeah,
was
that ca- yeah no-go. That's that kind of freedom.
Right. And then the fact that they had freedom emblazoned on their Yeah, we're going to go ahead and pass up
yeah,
on that
Yeah, take a
one.
Powder on that one.
Yeah, nah, I'm cool. this whole concept of freedom and what it allegedly means, and, well, to them as opposed to people like us who, you know, deal in logic. And it just, you know, because I haven't been down south. Well, no, I did. I was in Georgia. That was the first place I traveled to there last year. You know, in the south, you know, during COVID. And just walking around watching people. And I'm like, wow. But when going into Mississippi and Louisiana, and just looking at these people who just absolutely positively refuse to wear masks, and I'm thinking, you're gonna die. just
right. And suddenly, yeah, suddenly you're because it's in the trailer, so we can talk about it. Suddenly you're Jennifer Lawrence on the set of that stupid morning show. We're all gonna fucking die.
Right.
Well, you can, handsome scientist, you can come back, but not screamy lady.
Not screamy lady. You know, handsome scientist can come back. It's like, mother of God.
I hear your turn signal.
Yes, and it's left, another left turn. I made another left turn. Oh my goodness, that was so funny. No left turns. Wow. You don't want people turning left. That was awesome.
Wasn't it just?
That was just, you know, it's that kind of, you know, stuff that makes it the reason why we need you to stick around and this family to stay intact. Because, oh, then the left turn. I'm turning, making it in the... You know that's going to be a thing now.
You keep doing that, you'll be back where you started. You know that.
You know it's going to be a thing. Whenever I call and I'm driving and my turn signal, Tracy, are you turning left?
You know, you keep turning left like that, and you'll wind up in NASCAR. I forget who it was. I don't think it was you. somebody asked where, maybe it was Randy Radar, where does Let's Go Brandon come from?
No, you're the one, because I asked.
Brandon Brown is the NASCAR driver. And the woman who was reporting said, you know, when all the maggots in the stands were, fuck Joe Biden, she said, well, isn't that cute? They're saying, let's go, Brandon. And, you know, a political toddler meme was born. And so, well, there's news out of the wonderful world of NASCAR. He has a new paint scheme. Brandon Built Motorsports is his company, because I guess he can't get a ride with one of the big ones. But his car's paint scheme for, oh, what's the Xfinity series, which is kind of like the junior league for the real NASCAR. His paint scheme has been approved, and he's being sponsored by a cryptocurrency coin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's named after the Let's Go Brandon meme.
Mm-mm.
And so his paint scheme on his Xfinity car will feature Let's Go Brandon. LGB coin is the cryptocurrency.
Wow.
On the rear quarter panel.
Oh, well, what do you got to do?
And, of course, it all started last October. Where else? In Talabama at the Talladega Motor Speedway.
These people. Hick made a couple later.
Yep. Hic mater copulator.
Copulator. I just.
Hic mater copulator.
Copulator. Exactly. That part.
Yeah.
I'm just real tired of these people. And they persnickety ways. You know, but. What are you going to do?
I know.
What are you going to do?
I know.
It's just... Ugh. But I was listening to Reverend William Barber.
Yes.
That's a bad brother. It's like... Because he's like, it just don't make no sense. Why are you separating, crap
out? You'll notice Joe Manchin never debates him in person.
Oh, he can't. He cannot. Because it would be a bloodbath.
It would be sad.
Even
with it being Joe Manchin, it would be sad.
You're right. It would be, it's like, dude, seriously, listen now. You know, it's like me and the guy in Mississippi trying to come for me. And I'm like, sweetie, first of all, you're not about to get me riled, you know, because you know what you're trying to do. You're trying to turn me into the angry black liberal woman from California so you can, you know, video me and have the video go viral. I'm not going to give you that. No. You know, because I was calm and measured, and every time he tried to say something, I came back with receipts. And when you keep talking, you know, when you come at them with, you know, I don't know, this crazy word called facts, they can't handle it. What was it from A Few Good Men? You can't handle the truth. Because they can't. And it just messes with their little heads, and their heads explode. Because it's like, wait, Is that common sense? Is it, you know, what is that? And that circular logic. Because remember, I was telling, oh, I didn't talk to you. I'm not supposed to be talking to you. Have you watched Southside yet?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, wait, have you gotten episode 4 yet?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so I can't talk to you. And tell me what you thought of episode 4.
It was funny. It was, you know, the whole thing kind of reminds me of Reno 911 in a way.
Yes, yes.
But the zombie apocalypse, I mean, that was, that episode 4 was clearly The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. But when he had to choose, when she's like, Sophie's choice.
I know.
Oh, what he did?
Or in the police ready room when he says, "All right, Joe, new Jordans drop today." Oh man, no!
You can't. What? You know what? You don't have a family, man. What's your problem? Oh Jesus! I had no. You like I said, I'm not into tennis shoes like that, and I had no clue. I mean, I know people.
Well, I mean, you know, the crowd running out of shoes. It was like, you know, that was a stand-in for brains.
Brains. But I just love that show.
Well, I didn't realize it originated on Comedy.
It
originated on Comedy Central. I didn't know that.
On Comedy Central.
Yeah.
Yes, that's how I saw it, and I think the first season came out in 2019. And of course, you know, COVID, so that meant that, oops, there will be, God only knows when they're going to have more shows. And now the second season is out as well.
I love The Dirty Cop.
What?
The Dirty Cop.
Yes. She's awesome.
Shaking down people. And all I could think of was, you know, the general from Don't Look Up.
Yeah. But the snacks are supposed to be free. Why is he charging us for the snacks? Oh man, that one scene, you know, in episode 4, when he picks up that kid, because I wasn't expecting it.
Oh yeah.
When I told you about me, you know, laughing so hard I almost passed out.
Mm-hmm.
That was that scene. And Jan looked at me like, what's so funny? I'm like,
Well, and next we're moving on to Boba Fett.
Oh yeah.
And like I said,
you figured out how to get your Disney going.
I got my Disney going. So Boba Fett's, and there's one, and I hate it when it screws up like this. You know, sign in with your provider. So I did, and it's like, wrong password or login. God damn it. But there's one that looks promising from Sci-Fi Channel, a comedy. Called
Resident Alien?
Yes.
Oh,
no spoilers. Quit it. But I really want to watch.
Not giving you any spoilers. And by the way, season 2 drops in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so now all I got to do is sort out the stupid password horseshit.
Right. But let me, speaking of, okay, so you know I get Apple TV for free now because, you know, student.
Yeah.
And so I was playing, because there's really nothing on Apple TV that I really, but the last few days I was just, it was so weird because I didn't have homework to do or working on reports or anything. So I decided just to veg out, you know?
Why the hell not?
I'm just not used to it. It's foreign to me. And so I was playing around on Apple TV and I saw this thing, musical Come From Away or something like that. Have you watched it yet?
Wait, what?
I think it's called Come From Away. It's on Apple TV, and it's a musical. And this is what one of those things where
I saw the musical with Cicely Strong and I can't keep my key and peel separate.
Oh, Smigadoon?
Yeah, Smigadoon. I saw that.
Well, no. So this has come from away. And it's not, how was Smigadoon? Because I started it, but I'm like, I didn't want to over-saturate myself.
I mean, it had its moments, but...
Yeah, it didn't. There was something, and I tried, and I'm like, no. But come from away. So the story behind this, and it's based on a true story. So the day of the 9/11 attacks, all, of course, they closed U.S. airspace. So all these planes had to be diverted elsewhere. So about 30 planes or so were diverted to Newfoundland. And
Wait, you said it's a musical.
Yeah, but it's a musical. But it is. It's a musical. They turned it into a musical. And it works. And it was genuinely moving. Because I had no idea this even happened. That all these planes were diverted to Newfoundland and Newfoundland or whatever. And so their population jumped from, 9,000 to 18,000 overnight. And so all these different people, they had, like the Muslim chef and the gay couple and his brother. And, I think the brother was from New York. And the brother was like, first of all, being around all white people. But he was, being a black person used to the black man in the United States and having to be somewhere where they treated him as a human being. And he's like, for the first time in my life, I wasn't afraid because of where I was. I didn't have to be hypervigilant. But the whole thing was just so unexpected. And it was funny. It was poignant. It was heart, I didn't straight up ugly cry.
Happens.
But I there was a couple of sniffles. But it's worth a watch. It was so random, because as much as I like musicals, what was it about saturation? What was that from Ted Lasso?
Semantic saturation.
Semantic saturation. And so it's like, there's only so much I could take. And then I watched the some of the Thin Man movies. And
can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong, but here's the problem, because me and my brain and how I think. So, and that's another thing about when I start watching and binging stuff. But watching how incredibly white these movies were. I told a friend of mine.
Oh, I know.
I said, this movie was so white that they didn't even allow black people in it to be servants. I said, even the maid and the cop, they were white. Because after I watched that, I watched The Man Who Came to Dinner.
Another classic.
Monty Woolley. Oh, he was awful. And Bette Davis was just, Bette Davis is my spirit animal. I just, I love her. But it was just, those things about representation. Because I was, I was talking about how, you and I are constantly telling, giving each other viewing tips and stuff like that. And, you know, I was talking to this to my therapist today. And that, you know, you growing up, even though you knew who you were, you didn't have representation for trans people, but there was no denying representation in the media for white males. And so now that you have transitioned into a woman, now you need to see representation of transgender women, you know, being enrolled. And not,
yeah, it would be nice. It would be nice if we had something besides, you know, Ace Ventura and Silence of the Lambs. I mean, I admit it would.
Right, right, right.
And there are some.
Right.
While I was recuperating in Birmingham, I ran across one. It was only a single season. It's Canadian, running on HBO Max. It's called Sort of. And I absolutely loved it. Just a beautiful, the lead character is non-binary, kind of mostly she, but also from the Canadian Pakistani community.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I mean there was, and I don't mean this in a negative way. A lot of boxes got checked, and brilliantly so.
Because, again, in my session today, we were talking about intersectionality. And I said, you know, before I was queer, I was black. Before I was queer, I was a woman. Before I was queer, I mean, not am, but it was am. Before I was queer, I had a disability. I have a disability. So that's, how many is that? Did I, you know?
Yeah.
That's what, three right there. And then, so then you add in queer. Now that I'm on the upswing of 60, because, you know, this year I'll be 56.
Oh, hush.
Now, well, what, you know what? I talk about making a point. Don't let me come through this phone and snatch you.
I don't want to hear on the downside to 60. You know,
I said on the up. No, I said on the upside. No, okay. Well, I said on the upside.
Okay, but still, you know.
No. But what I'm saying is about ageism.
Yeah.
That's my point. You know, and it's like Jesus.
I know.
It makes it even more prevalent and important for me to have my own business, my own what have you, because I don't play well with others. Well, I do, but you know what I mean. And I'd rather not be beholding. Bye, Bobby. See you tomorrow. I'd rather not be beholding to people if I don't have to be. Just, you know, if that yeah, makes sense. You know, because I was, because thank God I live in California. Because, you know, I wear my hair in locks. I don't have to worry about people. If I do go back to working in corporate, you know, or what have you, I don't have to worry about being fired because of my hair. Because I live in California. It's the things, and it just keeps me going back to the conversation that I had with, you know, the neo-Nazi that I met when I was in Mississippi, trying to make me, you know, into a crazy woman. And I'm like, why would I live in California? Why would you want to stay in California? And like when you were talking about your health insurance woes. And all I could think of is if you lived out here, you'd have health insurance.
Yeah.
Without question. And would probably pay, you know, and it's covered by, they have subsidies to help you cover stuff. And, you know, based on your income, you probably would have a zero copay.
zero. You know, you probably have, you know, monthly charge might be nothing.
Well, I'm trying to sort it out in the marketplace, and you know, the one thing I'd like to find, and it is devilishly difficult. I mean, they hide the what we cover and what we don't cover stuff. You know, next steps for me are basically face and breasts.
Right. And in California, that will be covered.
Yeah, not here. And you know, the policy, the ridiculous policy that I had, where those geniuses said, no, it's outpatient. said those are cosmetic procedures, and they are not. I mean, the vast weight of medical opinion is that is not these are not, for somebody like me, a cosmetic procedure. It's not.
Right.
It's not because I'm unhappy with the aesthetics of them. It's because I've got to do this to fully and accurately present.
Well, I actually, speaking of, it's not for cosmetics. So, I have alopecia. You know, you know, I'm balding, and it's crazy because my hair in the back and stuff is all the way down to past my waist, but it's just, you know, the top, the crown balding. And so I was doing research, because the guy that does my locks, he was telling me about one of his clients who found this place, and you know, you measure your head and stuff, and they do and he's like, I would, you know, he would cut some of my locks and it would make a very natural hairpiece for me. Okay. Come to find out that because I have Medicare, but if I had PPO insurance, that would be covered. It's called a cranial something or another, because it's not cosmetic. It's beyond my self-esteem or anything like that. I have a medical condition, and because of this medical condition, I am balding. And if I had different insurance, they would cover it. Because you know how much those things cost, Robin?
Oh.
$10,000.
Yeah.
$5,000-$10,000. And so, as I started doing more research, they actually have classes on how to make these medical, because it's not called a medical, you can't call it a wig. I forget what you have to call it. How for never.
Prosthetic?
Yes, cranial prosthetic. Thank you. This is why I talk to you, because you're so brilliant.
Stop that.
Oh my God, you're so brilliant.
Oh.
Oh my God. But that said, there's classes on how to not only make the prosthetic, but how to bill insurance. And there's a need, especially for the black women, because when you go into these places, especially women who, you know, have lost their hair because of cancer, or women, men, any people of color, especially black people, these things, these prosthetics are for white people. The hair texture, and then the scalp, you know, for the color of the scalp and stuff like that. And there's, to date, there's only like two or three black-owned companies in the country that does this. So I'm going to have a conversation with my loctician, because he said he could make me one, and I'm like, we need to start a business. You know, he makes the wigs and stuff, and I do the billing and
right,
all that good stuff. The prosthetics, though, and find a way, because there's actually organizations. If you contact them, they will help you with the, you know, work toward the cost of getting these prosthetics and stuff like that, because there's a need. There's a definite need.
because one of the biggest things for me is this bald spot. It fucks with my self-esteem.
Sure does.
And it has nothing to do because I don't like the way my hair. No. I can't, you know, that, you know, with my smile and all these sort of things. It's just, come on. It's these things that people don't realize. And like with you, it has nothing to do with, I just don't like, I just want my lips fuller or my breasts fuller. No.
No.
That is not that.
That's definitely not it.
Yeah, I just don't like it.
I got to stop that before it gets stuck. Before it becomes semantically oversaturated. I don't know.
Or Valley Girl oversaturated.
Valley oversaturation?
Valley of saturation. Oh, my God.
Oh, by the way, Ron and Raleigh said there's a trans woman in the new Nash Bridges reboot. Also in Supergirl, Dreamer is trans. On Star Trek Discovery, there's
a
non.
And the current Jeopardy champion is trans.
Yeah, and she's kicking ass and taking names.
Oh, taking names. Man.
Bringing receipts and holding them up. Mm-hmm. Oh, and what did she tweet recently? Oh, and thanks to everybody who's told me I'm really a man. I don't know how you came up with that by yourself. Or something like that. You know, you're only the 38,000th person who's told me that. God, fucking TERFs.
Oh, speaking of that.
You know, another great response would have been, Dave Chappelle, is that you?
Hello, Dave. How you doing?
But the coolest thing is she got retweeted by Harvey Firestein, who said, I couldn't be prouder of her if she was my own daughter.
Wow. See?
Yeah, I know.
See, you know, it's just, there are, it's just, there are so many decent human beings out there that love and care about people in our community and people in your community. And it's not that we need people to, what is it? I don't need you to validate me. I don't need you to accept me.
Yeah, no. Actually, it goes back to what I've been saying, not to disagree. Don't need anybody's understanding.
I don't need
acceptance.
I need acceptance. Bitch, I'm sorry. This asshole is about to run the stop sign.
Was that one of them California rolling stops?
Yes, California. Because I was like, ugh. It wasn't even it was a California fake.
Oh. It was a head fake.
It was a head fake.
Might stop. Thought better of it. Yeah. Hey, you know what? It's kind of a little miracle. I've made it 3 hours and two. Well, 3 hours and 2 minutes right here on my little tuchus.
How does your tuchus feel?
Sore, but not as bad as it has been. But I do have to knock off now. But I am gonna. Yeah. I am gonna tell you. You know what post show snack is gonna be?
What?
My homemade Mexican cornbread and a glass of milk.
Okay, as long as it doesn't have raisins in it.
Oh, I didn't tell you about the raisins. They go so good with the jalapenos.
Oh,
and did you notice, because Annette and I were, we were rewatching Ted Lasso, and I'm just such a pathetic little Ted Lasso stan. It's just not even.
It's not a good look.
Well, quit it. But there's a moment where Rebecca is walking out of the room and says, going away, as long as it doesn't have raisins in it.
Doesn't have raisins! Fetch me a salad.
As long as it doesn't have raisins in it.
As long as anything without raisins. And I remember I told you that's when I knew she was a spirit. I didn't text you. I didn't tweet.
I don't think so.
I thought I did. I'm like, sister girl said, fetch me a salad as long as it doesn't have raisins. I'm like, okay, I will now watch this show. This was, that was my, that was it for me.
That whole cast is just magic, though.
It's just, you know.
And when Sam looks at Ted and says, "If you don't mind, I will not accept your army man. I don't have the same fondness for the American military you do." And Ted says, "Oh yeah, right. Colonialism." He says, "Yes."
So how does your family celebrate? What does Christmas remind you of?
Colonialism.
Colonialism. All right.
And everybody's like, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, yeah. But see, this is, and nobody felt bad. Nobody felt shame. It's just, oh shit, okay.
Yeah.
And so, like, this whole CRT bullshit was going to make little, you know, Timmy and Tiffany feel terrible about their whiteness. No. As a matter of fact,
you know, I was thinking about something. I'm still waiting because I know it can't be far away. Like those Moms for Liberty up in Williamson County, Tennessee, and out in Oklahoma where they're having hissies, and I'm still waiting for one of these people to say, and you know, we got to stop teaching that To Kill a Mockingbird. Now, To Kill a Mockingbird has really got a lot of problems. But for, you know, for little ninth graders, which is when it got handed to me, it was a nice lesson. But I'm waiting now for the Moms for Liberty, woof, I'm waiting for them to, you know, we got to stop teaching that To Kill a Mockingbird because it makes little white children feel bad.
Right. Speaking of making little white children feel bad. It starts on Thursday. I think I sent you a preview of it. It's called Women of the Movement. And the first thing this drop is the Mamie Hill story.
Mm.
And the previews.
Hold on. Did I lose?
No, I'm right here.
Hello, did I lose you?
No, I'm right here.
And the previews look like it's going to be crazy. It's going to be amazing. So it starts on Thursday on ABC and streams the next day on Hulu, for those of you who have Hulu.
Wow, that sounds good. Well, it sounds like things are ramping up out there on the speedway. Jude sent along a note saying, "Yes, Tracy, this is exactly why we need to stick around on whatever level we each find ourselves. Different as we are collectively, our critical thinking process is what will save us. Nothing easy, yet it is our time to be focused, if I may state. Hey, girl, hey, warmly, Jude."
Jude, thank God you, because my phone died, but... just to say, like I said, the things that
and a hey girl hey right back.
Hey girl hey.
Yeah, it's all in the it's all in the enunciations.
Yeah, you have to say it in a certain way. You know, I can say like hey girl hey.
Right.
You know,
the emphasis is on the second hey.
Right. I can go hey girl hey. You know, there's so many different ways to do this. You know,
it's kind of like I am Groot.
Right. I am Groot.
I'm Groot.
You know, and that's...
Because the same thing happened with Annette and me over The Great, because that entire series is peppered with the word huzzah.
Huzzah? I like that.
Huzzah. And it becomes really infectious pretty quickly. And we started, while we were still in Birmingham, we were huzzahing each other.
Huzzah!
And I think we still are. And huzzah takes on a kind of an I am Groot quality.
I was watching and somebody had on an I am Groot t-shirt. I can't remember what I was watching. But I think the guy that had on the I am Groot t-shirt was an asshole, so I was really annoyed that he was wearing an I am Groot.
Yeah.
It was like, how dare you? Speaking of I am Groot, do you still have that Groot little puppet thingy plush thingy that I sent you?
Yes.
So many, many years ago?
Yes, yes. Still have my Groot. He's right here. He's right here in the studio with me. Or they're right here in the studio with me. I mean, I don't think your Groot is having gender anymore.
Hey, did I send you an I Am Groot cup to coffee mug?
No.
Okay. I saw it. I just didn't get it. Okay. I looked at it, and I'm like, ooh. And then I forgot about it, and then they didn't happen.
And my little Disney my little Disney mouse ears transpin travels with me too.
Oh yes. When was the last time you wore it?
Birmingham.
Okay.
It goes great against anything, like, you know, black, you know, like a black top or black blouse, because the blue and the pink stand out.
Yeah, when I saw that, it just made it even sweeter was the fact that that was last year was the first year they ever had the pin.
Yeah, I've hung on to the card. He goes right back on the card when I'm done.
Yes. So it was, you know, you have the inaugural, you know, trans.
I just need Converse to bring back those trans Chuck Taylors.
Dude, seriously. Well, you know, you could have them, you can customize your Chuck Taylors.
I don't know if they're doing the trans customization or not. It's just the, you know, pink, blue, and white stripe. But God, girl, I got to get out of here.
Okay, bye. Bye, girl. But it's like, I love you.
Love you, bye.
And if Dave is still listening, because he did mention something about the Department of Rehabilitation, Christine really needs to check into that, because out here, they have the Ticket to Work program, and people who are disabled, and especially if you're on SSDI or so, you know, what have you. I don't know if she's on SSDI or if she's actually on Social Security, but if she's on SSDI, they have Ticket to Work, and they will pay for, you know, any training that you need to get you to be able to go back to work.
Excellent. And by the way, on the way out, Amy Schneider, what she actually said on Twitter, because this is too good to pass up. Every single one of you is the first person. No, I'd like to thank all the people who have taken the time during this busy holiday season to reach out and explain to me that actually I'm a man. Every single one of you is the first person to make that very clever point, which had never once before crossed my mind. And that's when Harvey Firestein saw it and said, "Can this statement by Amy S. be improved upon?" I don't think so. I couldn't be prouder if she were my own daughter. And she responded, I can't even process this. Am I dreaming? Thank you so much.
See, I would love to.
You know, love wins.
There are certain people that I would love to one day meet. Harvey Firestein.
And see, what's driving the little turf assholes crazy in this is that she is now the winningest and most consecutive games won for a woman on Jeopardy. And so the little turf assholes are out there doing the same thing they do with athletics. Oh, she, you know, she's erasing women from women's spaces.
Jeez, motherfuckers.
God. You know, why can't we have a selective comment? Say.
You know.
Never mind. No, I take that back. I take it back. That was really shitty and catty. I got to get out of here.
Okay,
love
okay,
you.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Thanks, everybody. Look at this. 13 minutes over. 3 hours and 13 minutes, and I made it. And I'm proud of it. Hope there won't be, there won't be. I'll do everything I have to do to make sure everything's good tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you. To our a la carte contributors, thanks for the challenges. Thanks for the Have a Show on Me response to the challenge. Thanks to everybody who chimed in. Hey, we only got $180 to go for tomorrow, and that's freaking awesome. Thank you to every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatsoever manner you choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. You know, the chat room was empty when I got there this evening, and I'm pretty sure I didn't start early this time. Thanks for popping by, everybody. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thanks, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, now a union shop. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And please stay safe. This thing is not nearly as mild as it's being pitched to be. You only have a hope of it being mild if you're vaccinated, if you're boosted. So in the meantime, wash your hands, don't touch your face, wear your mask, keep your social distance. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes around saying, you know what? When Republicans take the House back, we're going to make Donald Trump Speaker of the House. Avoid that person like the plague, because he is, and it just gets worse. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.